morning church, let's stand to our feet and sing together. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair. When the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from dawn to setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Well, good morning. And if you would go ahead and turn to your neighbor and ask them a simple question, how may I pray for you this week? Reaching out to welcome you, God. Fill this place again with your song. Flood our thoughts with wonder and awe. Give us a greater glimpse of an ever-changing God. Sing it out. All we want and all we need is found in you, is found in you, Jesus. Every victory is found in you, is found in you. Our hearts now to yours. Every fear bow down to your love. That we would see like never before. Give us a greater glimpse of an ever-changing God. All we want and all we need is found in you, is found in you, Jesus. Every victory is found in you, is found in you. Oh, 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 presence we are made whole. In your presence there is freedom. In your presence we are made whole. All we want and all we need. Every victory, and all we want, and all we need is found in you, is found in you, Jesus. Every victory is found in you, is found in you. Wanting a place to hide, this bag of bones I try with all my might. I just can't win the fight. I'm slowly drifting, a vagabond. Just when I ran out of I met a man I didn't know, and he told me that I was not alone. You picked me up, turned me around, and placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because you healed my heart, changed my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God. I cannot deny what I've seen. Got no choice but to believe. My doubts are burned like ashes in the wind. So long to my old friend. Burden and bitterness, you can just keep it moving. Nah, you ain't welcome here. Now will I walk streets of gold, sing of how you saved my soul. This wayward son has found his way back home. Solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because you healed my heart and changed my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God. Have lost another one, I am free, I am free. I am, let's sing it out this morning. Have lost another one, I am free. I am free. I am free. Yes, I am. Have lost another one, I am free. I am free. Oh, I am free, yeah. Have lost another one, I am free. Oh, I am free. Oh, I am free, yeah. Have lost another one, I am free. I am free. I am free, yeah. Have lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am free because you picked me up, turned me around, and placed my feet feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because you healed my heart and changed my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God. Let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And always see how great is our God. Age to age he stands, and time is in his hands. Beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead, three in one. Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb. Sing it out. The Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And oh, we'll see how great is our God. Name above all. God is the name above all names, name above all names, worthy of all praise, and my heart will sing how great is our God. Our God, and oh, we'll see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And oh, we'll see how great is our God. He's the name above all, name above all names, and worthy of all praise. God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord, that you are sovereign, omnipresent, and that you are in control of all things. God, we don't trust a God that just gives and takes away, but we trust a God that is quite literally orchestrating every aspect of our lives. You have everything from the beginning to the end. You know it, and you love us, and you're with us, guiding us through it. God, I pray that we would not lose our faith when bad things happen. I pray that we wouldn't stand on our shaky ground, but I pray that we would be firmly planted with you. We would have our foundation rooted in truth. And God, I pray that if we're not reading our Bible, that we would do that daily. I pray that we would allow you to chasten us and grow us. Heal us of our past traumas. Heal us of our past sins, God. It's already been forgiven. Lord, I pray that we would receive that. I pray that we would receive that forgiveness, and that we wouldn't fall into shame, we wouldn't fall into guilt, and we wouldn't fall into all these things that we're free of in your name. And God, I pray that as we go forward this week, that we would tell others about you, and that we wouldn't keep this light hidden away, but that if we have been changed by you, our testimony would be a powerful one, that we would speak to others. Lord, you are so great, and we love you. I pray that you would speak through Pastor Forrest this morning, anything that we need to hear. I pray all this in your name, Christ. Amen.
Life's good, if I'm being honest. Drama-free, which is nice. It's basically log on to work and do all that. Then I either meet up with some people, maybe watch something, or chill on my phone all night. That's a typical day. Week, month. It's not bad, but it's basically a loop. It's not bad, but it's not what I would call good. And it's starting to hit me. Like, what am I doing?
You look at my life and all you see is blessings. It's crazy. Closet is full of clothes, fridge is full, my cat, he's even living his best life. Sundays, I'm hearing the word with people who are real. I am so grateful. But it just feels like it's all about me.
I guess I feel a little lost.
I guess I feel a little like I'm on the sidelines.
Like I'm on autopilot.
Like I have something great, and I'm not really doing anything about it.
I wish I had something in my life that...
I need to find opportunities that...
gave me real depth.
Basically something that
challenges me. Something that made me...
feel invested.
Created deep
friendships.
Was an adventure.
I could look back on
awe. Purpose.
Depth.
Ice cream. Puppy dogs, bobsled,
pecan pie.
It's pecan.
Pecan.
Guys, seriously?
Hey.
Hey, man. So, I actually go to this church. It's a good place. I really like it.
That's cool.
Yeah. You should come. Check it out. If you want. I know it can be weird, but, you know, maybe we can meet someplace else, maybe here, then go. That way, you know somebody.
Yeah, that actually sounds really good. I'm in.
Great.
Good morning. It's wonderful to be with you here this morning. We are kind of continuing a series in the book of 2 Thessalonians, and we're talking about the end times. So I want to review for you a little bit of where last week I used the stage a bit to kind of figure out a timeline. I'm going to review it here just to kind of help you get a sense for where we're at in this timeline and where we're going to be this morning. So last week we talked about this section here kind of being the section that we're in called the church age. And if you remember, there was a chair here and I sat in the chair and I jumped up really quickly and everyone thought I was weird for doing that. Do you remember that part? Or was it just me? Oh yeah, I remember that. And I was sort of, I jumped up and I was just trying to say, this is the rapture. So the way that I'm reading the scripture, reading the Bible passages, that we're in the church age now, and at the end of the church age, there's something called the rapture. And that's where all the people who are believers, who have a genuine relationship with the Lord, are raptured up to meet the Lord. And everyone else is left here on earth for two time periods. The first one is about 7 years long, and that is something called the tribulation. Okay, now I was telling you last week, when you think of tribulation, think of it with an exclamation point at the end. It's going to be very, very difficult. This is a very hard time. It's a very difficult time. At the end of the 7 years, there's a period called the millennium, which is 1,000 years. And that's where Jesus is going to come back to earth, and he's going to reign on earth. And it's going to be a time period where of bounty. And then at the end of that time period, then Jesus will throw the beast and everybody into the pit, and then we'll start the new heavens and the new earth. And so where we're at right now is we are in the church age, and we're going to talk about a time period here in the middle of the tribulation. And the time period in the middle of the tribulation is when a character is introduced called the Antichrist. And so, to give you a little bit of perspective, if we're here, we're looking forward, and we're looking forward, the next big event that we're going to see is the rapture. And shortly after that is the tribulation. And in the middle of the tribulation, there's going to be a time period where a Antichrist is going to be revealed. And one of the things that I want to do this morning is I want to kind of give us an understanding of the nature of what is going to be happening with the Antichrist. The Antichrist is a pretty interesting figure. He has a couple of other names in the book of Revelation. He's referred to as the beast. In our passage here, he's referred to as the lawless one. But he's a real person that's going to come on the scene, and he's going to be influenced, if not possessed, by Satan. He's going to do the things that Satan is doing on the earth. And one of the things that's been a challenge for me is I've always thought through this time period, is like, why would anyone follow the Antichrist? I'm like, why would anyone follow him? There's nothing about him, from my understanding of the way I'm reading it, like, there's nothing about him that seems attractive. Why would someone follow him? And this morning what I want to do is I want to introduce you to something that we're going to talk about in these verses in the book of 2 Thessalonians, is that the Antichrist is a deceiver, and he's actually really good at it. And so as we look at this, what I want to begin to do is to help you to understand and to begin to see that this Antichrist is a deceiver. He's going to be so much of a deceiver that the Bible says that the whole world will believe him. And so as I look forward to this time, I think, wow, why would anyone do that? But that's my perception. The perception of the people living at that time is, this guy is it. They are going to believe him hook, line, and sinker. Not everyone. There will be a few exceptions, but not very many. Most people will believe him. And there's a couple of things that he's going to say. He's going to say he's going to set himself up in the temple, and he's going to be the one that he's going to tell everyone to worship. And at a time period, he's going to make everyone get a mark. And the mark is something that's going to be on the hand, it's going to be on the forehead, and that's going to be related to a number. And that number is three digits. Any ideas? 666. You know, what's interesting is that concept, the 666 as being evil, is so prevalent, even though a lot of people don't even understand what it's related to. They don't understand, you know, I know that's a bad number. People in our culture, they know that's a bad number, but they don't really know what is it referring to. And what's going to happen is this, the Antichrist figure is going to come out and he's going to say, you follow me, worship me, and all of you that are doing that are going to get this number on your, either on your forehead or your hand, Cole, and it's going to be some variation of the number 666. And that's going to be a way to identify the people that are following after the Antichrist. And what I want to begin to explore with you this morning is, how is this figure going to deceive virtually all of humanity? How is he going to be able to deceive them? And that's what our passage talks about today. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to the book of 2 Thessalonians. And we are going through this book, 2 Thessalonians, talking about a lot of different things. It's a book written by Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to believers in the church in Thessalonica. And so chapter 2 is a time period where these believers have believed a lie. They've been deceived. And so chapter 2 is kind of unwinding that lie and telling them the truth. And one of the things that we're going to see in verses 9 to 12, or the thing that we're going to look at in verses 9 to 12, is in the future, during this tribulation period, the Antichrist will deceive people on a grand scale. And so we'll be looking at verses 9 to 12. And the first thing that we see is, how is humanity going to be deceived during the day of the Lord? How are they going to be deceived? How is it going to work? And the first thing we're going to see is that the Antichrist will deceive with power. He will display some powerful things. Look with me at verse 9. It says, that is the one, and it's referring here to the Antichrist, the lawless one, the beast. That is the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan. Whose coming, his revelation in the middle of the tribulation, will be in partnership, will be in working together with the activity of Satan. This is a picture of letting us know, letting the readers know, that when this Antichrist comes, he is going to be working with Satan. They are working together. They are a team. They are trying to accomplish the same purposes. So as that is the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and false signs and wonders. The first one there is that his coming will be with power. And some people understand this. A lot of people see this power as referring to something miraculous. This Antichrist figure will do miracles. That's what he'll do. And we know at least one that we're told he'll do is he'll do some healing. But he'll do many more. But this Antichrist figure is going to heal people. And it won't be a healing like when you and I, if you have a medical condition, or if you're having a problem with something, you might come to me and say, hey, Pastor Forrest, would you pray for me? And I'll say, sure, I'll pray for you, and I might pray for you. That's not what this guy is doing. This guy is going to go up to somebody and say, be healed, and they will be healed. On command, on moment, they will be healed. And I want you to put yourself in the mind of the people who are watching this. Here is this character who comes on the scene and he heals people. Much like somebody else in history. Jesus did the same thing. And that's part of the deception. This figure is going to come on the scene and he's going to heal people. But that's not all. The end of the verse says this. And with signs and wonders, meaning that he will do supernatural things. One of the things we know he will do is he will call down from the sky fire. And so he will say, hey, fire, come down from the sky. And literal fire will come down and destroy whatever it is that he's trying to be against. And again, put yourself in the mind of the people who are seeing this. If we see something like that on TV, we think, oh, that's generated, it's computer generated, da, 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 da. But what if you're there and you see this person there and they say, hey, fire, come down from the sky. And it comes down and it's hot fire, it's real fire, and it destroys something. And you're like, whoa. And this is the deception that the Antichrist figure will have. He will display power. What he will be doing is supernatural. What he will be doing is something that no other human can do. And the problem with that is people will see it and believe. The Antichrist will be deceptive, and his deception will be powerful because he's doing things that nobody else human can do. And so that deception, the Antichrist, will deceive with power. This concept of this taking the mark is something that people have been talking about for many, many years. I remember when I was several years ago when credit cards first came out. People who were believers who had read Revelation thought that possibly the credit card was some kind of a sign. There was somehow this credit card was going to be a part of getting the sign of the beast. And now more recently, people have said, oh, this, you know, you can get a computer chip underneath your skin. And so people are like, oh, that's going to be the sign of the beast. Everyone's like, oh, that's what it's going to be. There's some kind of an idea behind it. That somehow we're going to get tricked into taking this sign. But I want you to begin to understand that that's not how this is presented. Humanity is not looking at the situation and they accidentally get in the wrong line for some kind of a mark. They know full well what they're doing because they wholeheartedly believe that the Antichrist is the real deal. They're deceived wholeheartedly. And that's what I'm trying to begin to do, is to get you to understand that this deception is going to be powerful. It's not going to be an easy thing for people to fight against. This is a thought that will jar your brain, but I want you to get this. If you are not raptured, the rapture will occur at some point in the future. And when the rapture occurs, every man, woman, and child who has a genuine faith in what Jesus did and has a relationship with the Lord will be raptured up. If for whatever reason, and I hope none of you are, but if for whatever reason you are not one of those people and you make it past that time period, as you are going through the tribulation, you will most likely see what the Antichrist does and you will believe him. You will. Because most people are going to do that. It's going to be that deceptive. And so as we look towards that in the future, we need to get out of the realm of thinking that it's going to be something that's just like today. It's just going to be a little different. No, it's complete deception. The Antichrist will have power that will be like something we've not seen in our lifetime. So how will all humanity be deceived? How could it possibly be deceived? The first thing is that the Antichrist will deceive with a powerful display. The second thing is the Antichrist will deceive with wickedness. Look with me at verse 10. And with all the deception of wickedness. So he will deceive with all the deception of wickedness. And what we often think about when we read this is like, oh, people are going to be wicked, but they're going to be deceived into thinking that it's okay. It's not what it's referring to here. What it's talking about is people will be doing things that are wicked, but they will think that they're being righteous. And people will be doing things that they think are righteous, but what they're really doing is being wicked. The deception will turn everything on its head. Everything that is thought to be righteous now will be considered wicked, and vice versa. We're told stories of people in Revelation and how during this tribulation time period, if people don't get the mark, they won't be able to buy things and they won't be able to sell things. The reason that this is happening is not because people think those are godly people. It's because they're considered wicked. Even though they're righteous people and they're trying to do the right thing and not do what is wrong, they're considered by the population to be wicked. And that's the dynamic that is in play here. During this time period, everything gets flipped on its head. Wickedness deceives, and it makes people think that it's righteous. Verse 10 goes on to say this, and with all deception of wickedness, for those who perish, those who have not gone up in the rapture, because they did not accept the love of the truth so as to be saved. So these people are given the opportunity to see the truth, and they chose not to love that truth. And instead, they chose a different way, and that way that they've chosen is a way that will end up causing them to be in a place of being wicked. And this whole situation, our whole society will be flipped on its head. If you've seen anybody, there are some musicians and social media influencers who have gotten a tattoo, a 666 tattoo. And I don't know if you've seen that, but if you haven't seen that, the reason that people get that is because they think it's fun to be wicked. They understand that 666 number is a bad thing. It's an evil thing. It's a terrible thing. And so what they're doing, they're not getting it because they think it's good. They're getting it because they think it's fun to be wicked. And so when we hear about everybody getting this number, we're thinking, oh, this is, they're just thinking it's fun to be wicked, but you don't understand. That's not what it's going to be to them. It's not going to be fun to be wicked. They're thinking they're being righteous by doing it, because everything gets flipped on its head. If you think through the process, someone could have been living through the church age and been a terrible person and all that stuff. They're gonna miss the rapture, and then they go through this time period, and they're gonna look and they're gonna say, you know what, it's about time for me to get my act together. It's about time for me to stop living like a terrible person. I'm gonna follow the Antichrist. Their mentality is totally different. They're taking these things. They're following the Antichrist, not because they think it's wicked and they think it would be fun. They're pursuing it because they think it's being righteous. And so the deception comes about. The Antichrist will deceive with wickedness. People will misunderstand, and they will try to be righteous by doing something that's completely wrong. And although I hope that none of you are there, I want you to understand this dynamic. If you miss the rapture, if you are not taken up in the rapture and you go through the tribulation, you are going to be surrounded by people, and you may very well yourself fall into it. And you're going to see what's going on, and you're going to say, this is truly righteous. What was going on before, that God, that Jesus, those guys, they were just leading everyone astray, but this guy is the real deal. They're going to go after him, they're going to pursue it, and they're going to feel like they're being righteous in the process. So how will humanity be deceived during the day of the Lord? First of all, they'll be deceived because this Antichrist figure will be doing powerful displays. Second of all, they'll be deceived with wickedness. Everything will be turned on its head. Everything that's wrong will seem right, and right will seem wrong. And the last thing is the Antichrist will deceive with a lie. Look with me at verses 10, 11, and 12. For this reason, because these folks did not love the truth, for this reason God will send upon them a deluding influence. So they will believe what is false, so that they will believe a lie. God will send upon them a deluding influence. Some people are uncomfortable hearing this because it seems like God is in charge of sending this deception. And if you read the verses before and you understand, God is not sending it in an active way, but he's allowing it to happen. And the whole point of this, or the whole point of doing this, is to demonstrate that this Antichrist, although for a time he may seem like he's in power, he's not really calling the shots. God is the one who's calling the shots. And God is allowing him to come to power, and he's allowing him to create a lie and to deceive people. He's allowing it. But he's still the one in charge. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is a lie. And verse 12 says this, in order that, or the purpose is, that they may all be judged who did not believe the truth. And this is a second thing that sometimes people have trouble with. They have trouble with God judging people for not believing him. And it seems kind of harsh. It seems kind of wrong. We need to understand in the full picture of the story from the beginning of time, from the garden. God said that if a person stays away from me, if they embrace sin, if they do what's not what I don't want them to do, they will be separated from me. Sin has that effect. And so all through the story of the Bible and all the way up to our time, the Lord has said, I love you. I want to be in an intimate relationship with you, but your sin is a problem. And for those people who continue to say, I don't care what you think, I want to keep doing what I want to do, the Lord said, if you keep this up, there will be a final separation. And that final separation is here. It's being talked about here. That final separation will be the time where people are getting what they've asked for all along. And so it seems like God is judging them, and in a sense he will be. But he's not judging them saying like it's his choice. He's judging them because I'm giving you people what you've wanted all along. I've given you opportunity to change. I've given you opportunity to see my love, and you continually reject it. And as a result, your rejection is going to result in your rejection. So verse 12 says this, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. And these folks will believe a lie. That delusion and that lie is that the Antichrist and Satan are the real deities to be worshipped. That's the delusion and that's the lie. Although the up until that point, there is a sense in which God is the real God and Jesus is the true way to him. What will happen is the lie that people will believe is that Satan is really the true God and that the beast is the way to him. And that's who should be worshipped, and that should be followed. And everything that happens as a result of believing that lie will result in things getting turned on its head. A number of years ago, I worked in the auto business, and I was a finance manager, and one of my jobs was to give people their plates. So I would get them new plates for their new car that they just bought, and I would give them their plate. And so I was working through, got a plate situated for somebody, and I flipped it over, and I showed it to him. I said, here's your new plates. And the guy's face went white. He was just like, he couldn't hardly talk. He was ashen. It was like, ah. And I was like, that's kind of weird. So I flipped the plate over, and looking up, sure enough, numbers was 666. And he's like, I can't take that plate. He was like freaked out. I can't have that plate. You got to give me a different one. So I gave him a different one. But I tried to explain to him, getting those numbers 666 on your license plate isn't you're not signing up for the Antichrist. You're not worshiping him. It's just plates for your car. It had nothing to do. It wanted nothing to do with that. He's like, I'm not getting those plates on my car. But the danger of this preoccupation with this number 666 is this. So we can be so afraid about accidentally getting 666 on our license plate that we're missing the point. The point is that during this time period, people will willingly take that number. They will willingly identify with the Antichrist. They will willingly identify with Satan because from their perspective, that's the true deity. And unfortunately for the people who miss that the rapture, who miss that time and are here, they will believe that lie. Most people will believe it. They will worship the Antichrist. They will worship Satan. Not because he's an attractive figure, but it will seem right at the time. So how will humanity be deceived during the day of the Lord? First thing is the Antichrist will deceive him with power. Powerful displays of things that a human cannot do, demonstrating that they should be worshipped. Second of all, it will be deception with wickedness. Understand, things will be flipped on their head, and so all of a sudden wickedness will seem like righteousness. And it will be by believing a lie that the real God and Jesus are not the right way. The right way is to follow the Antichrist and the beast and Satan. And I've always wondered, as I look through this time, I always wondered how someone would willingly take on their hand or their head that number 666. I'm looking from my time period, looking through, and I'm like, how would somebody willingly do that? Why would somebody willingly do it? I know why artists do it today, because they're trying to be bad. They think it's fun to be, I get that. But why would a rational person do that? All they have to do is read something out of the book of Revelation and see, this is the bad guy in the story. How are people going to be so clueless to be able to want to do that? And part of that is my perception, and I look at and I think about that this Antichrist figure and this and the Satan figure, as they're revealed, they're going to be like this evil-looking, sinister-looking person. But the reality is they're not going to look that way. They're going to look like the good guy in the story. And they're going to deceive most of humanity. And as we look at this, we can see, as we look at these verses, you can kind of look through and say, ah, I see how this guy is going to be so powerful. He's going to deceive virtually all of humanity. And the reason why I think that's so important for us, there's two reasons why that's so critical. One is, if you are here this morning and you are a person who does not have an intimate relationship with the Lord because of your faith in Christ, that's something you got to think about and look at. Because as we talk about this time period, if you miss the rapture, you're going to be surrounded by people who are deceived. And it will be very, very difficult to do otherwise. And the second thing is this, is that our friends and our family members, the people that we know, the people that we see in our lives from day to day, if they don't make it out in the rapture, they are going to be living in a culture that it's going to be very difficult to believe something different. They're going to be living in a time of deception. And it's not just going to be one or two. It's going to be virtually everybody that's going to be deceived. So my challenge for you next week is this. Invite someone to church. The church is a wonderful place for people to come in and see authentic believers trying to live out their faith. The church is a wonderful place that's a welcoming place, especially for people who've never even been in a church before, to come into a church and to be greeted by people who are genuinely nice. And the third thing is, the church is a healing place. It can be a healing place for people, and there are many of them, who have been hurt significantly by people who call themselves believers. You bring them into a place where they're loved, where you bring them into a place where there's no drama, bring them into a place where people are genuinely, authentically trying to live for the Lord, and it'll get their attention. So next week, invite someone to church. After the service, if you need someone to pray with you, just want to let you know, I'll be up front, be happy to pray with you. If you need someone to talk to after the service, I'll be up front, and I'll be happy to talk to you however you need to do. This week, let's work on it. Invite somebody to church with you this next week. Give them an opportunity to come in and experience what it means to be a part of a body of believers that are on our way to meeting the Lord and living with Him forever. At this point in the service, what we're going to do is transition now into a time of communion. If you didn't receive one of the disposable communion cups on your way in, just go ahead and raise your hand, and we'll make sure we get one of those for you. There'll be some gentlemen in the back who will get those for you. We refer to this time period as the Lord's Supper. This is the time period where we as a body think back to the time period when Jesus was willing to sacrifice His body and blood so that those who have faith in what He did can have an intimate relationship with the Lord forever. And so this is a time for us to remember, to think back upon that time in a way, and be appreciative for what Jesus has done for us. So the first part is, if you rip off the plastic piece and reveal the bread, we read from the book of 1 Corinthians, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord Himself. The Lord Jesus, on the night when He was betrayed, took some bread, and when He had broken it, and when He had given thanks, He broke it, and He said, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And in the same way, after supper, He took the cup. And the cup is a reflection, is a remembrance of the blood that Jesus was willing to shed on the cross. Although there are theories out there that Jesus didn't actually die, we know he died. He was buried in a tomb for 3 days. And he was brought back to life. But before that, he was willing to allow his body to be broken and his blood to be shed so that he could purchase our redemption. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Then he concluded with, "For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death until he comes again."
Well, good morning, church. Church, we conclude our service. We just have a few short announcements. Immediately following the service, I know we've been announcing it for 2 weeks now, but there will be an information meeting about the mission trip to Hungary this summer. Please be sure to go. If you have any interest whatsoever, please be sure to go. It'll be in room 202. If you need any help with directions, please be sure to see Pastor Forrest, me. A fair number of people might be able to point you that way as well. Ladies of the church, on Tuesday evenings from 4 to 5 p.m., there'll be a group Bible study. If you'd like any more information, please be sure to see Sarah Sherman. I'll give a little bit more information, get into God's Word with some other ladies of our church. And finally, we're going to be restarting the Good News Community groups here shortly. Please be sure to sign up in the Church Center app. It'll be a great opportunity for you to be part of a small group, to get into God's Word, share some of your life circumstances, and pray for each other in those as well. And finally, on your bulletins, on there on the back, you can find a few different ways to give to help support the ministries of this church. As you are able, please be sure to be generous to help support what God is doing here at Redeemer. And finally, as we pray to conclude our service, I like to do two different things. Usually we just pray all together, but given the exercise we did in the beginning after the first song about asking one another, how can we pray? I like to spend maybe just 15, 20 seconds, if you've got the opportunity to talk to someone, silently pray for them. And if you didn't get the opportunity, maybe look around. Maybe you know any needs that someone here might be having. Pray for them really quick. So that'll be the first thing. The second thing, the passage we went through today, though Pastor Forrest definitely ended on a very positive note of invite someone to church, because the good news is indeed very good news. But it is a tough passage to go through. If you remember, a month ago, I preached personally through verses 13 through 15, which takes a little bit of a lighter note. And given that we won't be preaching through that again in this sermon series, I'd like to pray through that as well. So would you please silently pray with me, and then I'll begin the end of that. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you because you have chosen us as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of your Spirit and through belief in the truth, your truth. Lord, we know that you called us to this through the gospel, the true gospel of Christ, that we might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you. Lord, please help us to stand firm and hold fast to the teachings that have been passed on to us through your word, through the teachers, through the preachers that we have heard. Lord, may you please give us eternal encouragement and good hope. Please encourage our hearts and strengthen us in every good deed and word as we go throughout our weeks. Lord, we thank you. Please sanctify our church. Please strengthen us as we seek to pray for one another as well. Lord, we thank you and pray this all in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen. Thank you, church. You are dismissed, and have a great week.